situations, but we're all unified by the same one true God who created us, who sees us, knows us, loves us, and saved us. Stand and join us in unity as we praise Him.
I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power.
Down. In the- For just a moment, we are so excited to get to worship together here at Westgate Chapel. That's something that we love doing together. And if you are a first-time visitor, I pray that you would, above everything, you would walk away being changed by the love of God today, and that you would feel incredibly welcome here. We are so excited you chose to worship with us today. And also, please take the time to check out our visitor center out there. We've got a small gift for you, just a way for us to welcome you to our congregation. And yes, sorry, I've had a cold, so my voice is cracking a little bit more today. It's fine, you'll get over it. So the connection card in the pew in front of you, that is also a way for us to get to know you. And please take the time to fill that out. Put your prayer request on there, maybe ways you want to get plugged in here at Westgate Chapel. And also, how many of you have downloaded the Westgate Chapel app? All right, that's pretty good. 9 a.m. was on it too. So, all right, let's go. But yes, it's an awesome app. It lets you know what's going on here at Westgate, as well as you can check out our website. And it's just a really handy way to get connected here at Westgate Chapel. And something I would just want to share with you today, you may have seen it on the slides earlier, we are really excited about something that's coming up. I just mentioned a second ago that one thing we love doing here is worshiping together. That is a huge part of what we do as a Westgate family. And we are going to be doing a night of worship on February 21st. You'll see it on the slide here at 7 p.m. Friday, February 21st. Yes, we're really excited about that. And I want to encourage you, It says 7 to 8:30. We're actually going to shoot more for even a shorter time. So if you're that's too long for my kids or whatever, don't worry about it. It's going to be more like an hour long. Okay, 7 to 8. Bring your friends, bring your family members, people who don't know Jesus is totally fine too. People who do know Jesus and worship at other churches, that's fine. We just want to worship together. It's going to be an awesome night of musical worship with just a different variety of ways we love serving our God together and worshiping Him. So with that being said, I want to invite all of you to stand up, and it's your favorite time. I want you to greet one another and maybe share or ask someone what their favorite current worship song is. Go. Join me as we pray together. God, thank you so much for your provision, Lord. Thank you so much for uniting us together, Lord. We gather here to sing your praise, to lift your name up higher than any other name, Lord. Any other government, anything, any power, anything else in this world, God, you reign above it all, and you unite us together. The blood of Jesus, God, is so powerful, unites us together. And so I pray, if there's somebody here today and they're struggling, God, they're hurting, I pray that they would receive the blessing that you offer, God. And we love you, and I pray that you would guide us and direct us today as we continue to worship and honor you.
I raise a hallelujah.
That's worth celebrating right there. Yeah.
Bowing. That's how you get set up for worship, for the receiving of the Word of God. Let's give them a hand. Well done, you guys. They love Jesus, and it shows. Can you tell? You can have a seat. I'm going to pray for our service before we get going. And I'm going to ask that in just a second after I pray, we'll grab these buckets and we're going to pass them this ways. I think they're over in this aisle and you're going to head them all that way. And then the ushers will come by and pick those up for the giving. But if you notice the service, the worship is in song. And then we're going to worship in giving. And then we're going to worship in the preaching, teaching of the Word of God and receiving of the Word of God. And then we're going to worship in song again. That's a complete package here at Westgate Chapel. Amen. Welcome to those online. Let's pray together and then we'll get going. For those online, you can give at the westgatechapel.org or the app in order to give as well. So, Father, thank you for the freedom and the ability to be able to do what we do. We are asking in Jesus' name, Lord, that your hand would be upon this service, that those that came in, they would actually hear what it is that the Holy Spirit has for them. I've been praying that. I've been praying for my church family, Lord, all week. Actually, I started praying when Rob asked me a month ago. So I place this crowd in your hands. I pray, Lord, that they would feel free to give and give as well as they can. They do it with a worshipful heart. We thank you for the way that you provide for this church. You are a good God. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and send those buckets down, and the ushers will catch them while I get set up. For those who haven't met me yet, my name's Randy Fall. I've been serving as care pastor here the last 3.5 years, roughly. And been an employee with the facilities care since 2009. Today, we're going to continue the journey through the book of Galatians, a letter from the Apostle Paul that teaches us profound truths about living out our faith. As you probably know, at its heart, Galatians shows us that true freedom comes when we let go of ourselves, fully surrender to Christ, and live by faith in him. Hence the name on your sheet, Freedom Through Total Surrender. Today I want to take us deeper into Galatians by focusing on a life-transforming passage we find in chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. This is where Paul declares what it means to live in total surrender to Christ. So let's open our Bibles or our devices and let's closely examine this powerful text. The scripture will be on the screen as well. Verse 19, for through the law I died to the law that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Amen. That is the word of God. So I ask this question. What would your life look like if you truly believed that the old you, bound by sin, fear and anxiety, and self-centeredness, were completely dead and gone? What would that look like? Paul's words in Galatians 2:20 confront us with a life-changing question. What would your life look like if you truly believed the old you was utterly dead and gone? This verse offers one of the New Testament's most powerful declarations of what it means to live by faith in Christ. Yet as aspiring as this declaration is, living it out is no simple task. It requires daily surrender, wouldn't you agree? Yeah, absolutely, yeah, right. Daily surrender means letting go of our desires. What? Ambitions, oh yeah. And the illusion of control and trusting Christ to lead us. To pull all the pull of our old selves, the habits, the fears, and selfish tendencies often clashes with the call to live by faith. Trusting God's plan can be challenging, especially when life feels uncertain. And the world tells us, teaches us in every aspect of it, to rely on ourselves. Pull up your own bootstraps. Paul's words remind us that the Christian life is not about self-effort. You're going to hear me say that quite a bit. Or perfection. It's about abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ by his grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are equipped to live a life that reflects his love, his sacrifice. Struggles may mark the journey of faith, but it is sustained by the assurance of the same God who loved and gave himself for us. He's the one who enables us to live for him. So let's hear this verse, Galatians 2:20, from three different other scriptures. The first one that we read through the whole thing was the English Standard Version. Now on the screen should be the King James Version, just verse 20. Paul proclaims, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The next verse on the screen will be from the New Living Translation. It says it this way, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Message paraphrases it this way. Christ's love showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. Did you hear that? My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. Hearing Paul's words in these three different ways reveals one profound truth. You need to write this down. It's not in your points, but it's true freedom. True freedom is found when we let go of ourselves. True freedom is found when we let go of ourselves, fully surrender to Christ, and live by faith in him. One more time. True freedom is found when we let go of ourselves, fully surrender to Christ, and live by faith in him. Listen, this is for somebody in this room today. God is at work not to make you a better version of yourself, but to transform you into a completely new creation. Jesus died for the whole world, so those who receive his new life no longer live to please themselves. Instead, we live to please Jesus, the one who died for us and was raised to life. He is our reconciler. He's restoring to us a new life in him, a right relationship with God. We must not allow others' opinions or expectations to interfere with our walk with Christ. In our American culture, that's a bad habit we've picked up. I'm going to say it again. We must not allow others' opinions or expectations to interfere with our walk of Christ. As Christ followers, we see Jesus differently now, don't we? Yeah. And we should see ourselves differently too. When we become Christians, we didn't just improve or change a little. Scripture says we became entirely new persons. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a verse that you should arm yourself with and memorize it. It's real simple. The New Living Translation says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So please hear me. God is not at work in your life to make you a better version of yourself. He's transforming you into a completely new creation. Now, based on everything that we just talked about, I have to ask this question again. So let me ask you, now that you've heard Paul's declaration on the screen, how would your life change if you let go of the old you and fully embrace the freedom of Christ living through you? That's a good question that we should answer. We should each have an answer to that question. But before answering that question in today's teaching, I should briefly examine how did we arrive at Paul's statement here. So I'm going to go backwards, kind of catch us up because it's been a little bit. A couple of weeks since we were in Galatians. Galatians 1, Paul begins by defending the gospel of grace that he preached to the Galatians. He reminds them that this gospel was not taught to him by man, but received through a direct revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Paul shares his own story of how he went from being a persecutor of the church to a preacher of the faith. The very faith, the ones he once tried to destroy. Moving into Galatians 2, Paul continues by recounting a pivotal moment when he met with the apostles in Jerusalem to affirm that the gospel he was preaching to the Gentiles was the same as what they were preaching to the Jews. He also confronts Peter in Antioch for withdrawing from Gentile believers out of fear of criticism, insisting that salvation comes by grace through faith, not by observing the law. Paul clarifies that the law cannot justify us before God. Justification is only found in faith in Jesus Christ. This brings us to my text today of which we're going to talk about, where Paul declares this life-transforming verse, the truth of freedom through total surrender to Christ. You may recall in verse 19 that I read earlier, For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. Well, what does this mean? The law revealed to Paul and us that we could never live up to God's perfect standard. It wasn't a path to salvation, but a mirror showing our inability to save ourselves and pointing us to our need for God's grace. That's not only for us here in this building, it's also for you online as well. We are needing God's grace. For years, Paul believed his law-keeping made him acceptable to God. But as he came to understand the true purpose of the law, primarily through Jesus' teaching, he realized how far short he fell. This realization, you guys, brought Paul to the end of himself, where he surrendered and began to live by faith in Christ instead of relying on his own efforts. So what does this look like in real life? Well, I want to use what's in front of me as an illustration. As goofy as it is, it matches my personality. But I think you will never leave here the same. This is the old Randy. This is the tower climber. The guy that lived every desire of his own. Whatever he was right in his eyes, he did it. I wasn't a bad person. I was a pretty decent person. I did what was right. I didn't steal or that kind of stuff, but boy, did I break a lot of sins. And as awkward as this is, something had to happen, and God used a near-death experience, which I'll share later at the end of the service, about how he got me on my back, if you will. This dummy represents something that's supposed to be dead. This old man of the sinful nature. Yet, isn't it strange how sometimes we carry this around, our old selves? That looks pretty good. Got a pretty shirt. Right? This is my old self. I shall call him Rando. That's what they used to call me. That or Fall Guy. As a tower climber, the name Fall Guy. Come on. Tell me God didn't have a story written for me. Instead of leaving it behind, we drag our old selves around, clinging to old habits, old attitudes, and old ways of thinking. Sometimes we even dress it up, carry it as though it has something of valuable to offer. But let's be honest, why do we keep dragging around something that's supposed to be dead? This dummy, Rando here, represents my old lifeless self that has been called to leave behind through Christ's transforming work. I've been called to leave it behind. Paul gives us a powerful reminder in Galatians chapter 2, 19 through 21. When we surrender to Christ, we die to the old self so that we can live a new life in him. Yet, living out that life of surrender is a daily struggle because the old man of sin tries to insert its influence, even though it's already been completely defeated. I'm going to tell you right now, old Rando here has more influence than the devil does. My old way of thinking, the old habits, this is the way we always did it. That is seven dangerous words that should come out of a Christian's mouth, is that's the way we always did it. God's always in the created being business, right? He's creating new things fresh. He is not boring. Even though surrender is challenging, I'm here to tell you the reward is worth it. When we let go of ourselves and trust Christ completely, we experience true freedom and victory. I'm going to unpack, what does that look like? Paul tells us how to leave the old man behind and live in the freedom of a life surrendered to Christ. So today we'll examine on the screen the nature of a surrendered life. That's my first point. I'm going to unpack that. The nature of a surrendered life. My next point, the challenges that we face in surrendering. There's challenges that we're going to face while we are trying to surrender certain things. And I'm going to end on the freedom and victory that comes through total surrender. So let's start by exploring the nature of a surrendered life and what does it really mean to live a life fully surrendered to Christ. When we read or hear this verse, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What does this mean for us regarding living a surrendered life? What is the nature of a surrendered life? One of the points that I have on the screen right now is we need to identify with Christ's death. We need to learn our identity in this new life that God has given us by grace. To understand the nature of surrendered life, we must identify with Christ's death. When Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, he means that spiritually, our old sinful nature, Rando here, our pre-salvation self died with Jesus on the cross. This is one of the hardest sanctifying works that we have to do, is to learn to remember our old sinful nature, our pre-salvation self died with Jesus on the cross. This is not a literal death, but a spiritual one. It means that our old way of living, dominated by sin and separated from God, is no longer who we are. Romans 6 on screen, 6 and 7, says this in the New Living Translation version. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. I've been set free from this old man, this old nature. Sin's power is dead to us, just like this dummy. There's no life in here. There's no sin or anything going on in this thing. Sin no longer has the authority to define us or to control us. We don't live under sin's power anymore. In Christ, we are truly free to live for God. Our old selves have no claim for us. We identify with Christ's death. Yet we still keep bringing up the old stuff, don't we? We tend to fight the battles with our old nature instead of the new tools that Christ gave us. When we live the surrendered life, our next point, we have to identify with Christ's burial. That means I got to get rid of this thing. We must remember that just as Jesus was buried after his crucifixion too, our old sinful nature has been put away permanently. So identifying with the burial of Jesus Christ will help us to understand the nature of a surrendered life. Colossians 2:12 says, "For you were buried with Christ." We're remembering the truth about who we are now. We were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. We have taught around here what baptism is. It symbolizes this burial where the old self is gone and a new life begins. Our sins are not only forgiven, but they're buried. We must remember that the remission of sins, or the forgiveness of sins, his blood was shed for our sins by the atonement of Jesus. Psalm 103:12 says, "He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west." Remission, mission. When you're on mission, you're sent to go somewhere, right? Remission means he's taking our sins and he's sending them away from us and he's choosing not to remember them no more. So why do we keep bringing them up? The old man keeps reminding us. And then there's the enemy who wants us to trip us up and cause us to stumble and remember to live in the old life. Well, God's word fights that. The good news is that the remission of sins had been sent away far from us, and we are pardoned and we are set free. Amen? Amen. Identification with Christ's resurrection. So we identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection. To understand the nature of a surrendered life, I must remember that being crucified with Christ doesn't mean the story ends with death and burial. It leads to resurrection. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we as believers are raised to new life. And Romans 6:4 says it beautifully on the screen, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." So when people give me an excuse why they have to stay or remain in sin, you're simply not believing what God's word is saying. So we have a rebellious problem. I'm confident God did not come to this world to save marriages. I think he came to save people. And people are in marriage covenants. And people that have tensions is probably because somebody's not surrendering. Somebody's not living in the new identity. It could be one or both. There's a tension. Marriages are getting attacked because marriages are a picture of what Jesus is for the church. Today's verse just shouts out, "My old self has been crucified with Christ." So if I'm in a marriage commitment, I've been crucified with Christ. So I'm a servant to my bride. I don't always get it right, but that's my goal. When we have arguments before, it was a long time and maybe even didn't even speak to each other. Now within moments, it's like, "I'm sorry, we own it." That's sanctification taking place, right? We're no longer where we used to be. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me now. So I have new foundation, a new set of tools, a new filter system to respond through. So I live in this earthly body. Well, how do I do this? By trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 2:4-5 says this, "But God is so what? Rich in mercy. He loved us, how much? So much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead." So it's by God's grace that we have been saved, amen? It is. So to fully understand living with the new nature of a surrendered life, we must remember Christ lives in me. He lives in you and you and you and you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's a whole other verse. Our old self that lived under the law is dead. Now we are alive in Christ and Jesus is alive in us. Christian life is not about self-effort, remember, but allowing the Holy Spirit to live through us. We must live by faith. Listen, faith is not a one-time decision. It's a daily surrender, and I submit to you, it may be a moment-by-moment surrender. I know some of your stories. It's a moment-by-moment surrender, isn't it? Because our old flesh is speaking loud, and sometimes we're so distracted, we can't deal with what's coming out of the old self. And then there's an enemy in there that's wanting to just trip you up once you trip on your own stuff. He wants to kill and destroy us and separate us from being who Christ called us to be. Christ, because of his love and his power, he sustains us. That's how we get there. Somehow, some way, you have to figure out a way on how to trust God when you're in the middle of a trial or a temptation. It's not easy. Sometimes when I fast, when I get a hunger pain, it's like, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Shut up. I got to live by God's word, by faith, and trust in God. If I got to do it, how come you don't get to do it? Why do we get to live in our sin? You follow what I'm saying? We all are under attack, but we have been created by Christ for a purpose. Christ lives in us. He sustains us. But surrender, like I said, isn't always easy. There's some challenges to surrendering. That's my next point. Challenges to surrendering. We briefly covered Galatians 2:19, but it deserves repeating. We often cling to the law. We want a structure to follow. That way I can just do whatever I want within those walls. I'm all right. God wants us to go deeper than that. Moment by moment. He says, for when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might what? Live for God. This verse reminds us that true life with God begins when we stop relying on our own good works. And we got to figure out how to fully surrender moment by moment. Wouldn't you agree? We got to figure that out. That's on us and the Holy Spirit. He said he's given us the power to do these things, to accomplish good things. What? This verse reminds us of the true life with God begins when we stop relying on our own works and fully surrender him. Why? Because it confronts our natural tendency to rely on our own efforts. Paul makes it clear righteousness cannot be achieved through works, yet we often cling to this word, $2 word, called legalism. You know, I got to have these structures. Oh, you're not supposed to do this. And I fall in that trap sometimes. It's like, how come I'm the only one doing the speed limit? Everybody wants to go around me. How come I don't get over in the right lane and just go slow in the left passing lane? That's sinful. Get over. If I do enough good works or things, follow all the rules, God will love me more. Church, may I tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. He's perfect, right? Christ, Jesus Christ is perfect. He loves us perfectly already. So the old man will tell me, well, I just got to do a little bit more. Well, if I go to church 3 times a week and do all these, whatever, these things, that's the heart condition of the old man. You don't have to do a thing if you don't want to. The Holy Spirit will do a work in you. And if you allow him through obedience, you'll be able to do the things of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. This was a major stumbling block for me in my testimony early on, because I'm trying to earn God's favor on my terms. This challenge forces us to ask, do I believe Christ's work is truly enough, or am I still striving to prove myself worthy? There are people well into their 70s and 80s that still think they got to earn God's favor, and they've known the truth all their life. There's young folks that are probably in this facility, maybe even online, that they don't have any idea what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, Christ's work is truly enough. But here's the truth. Old habits die hard. Even though the scripture tells us the old man is dead, the habits and the patterns of sin, they're right there. They don't just disappear over the night, right? It takes a minute. That's the sanctification process. It takes a minute of surrendering. Moment. Okay, now the temptation comes a week later. You've been praying, fasting maybe, just praying and just saying, you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. I've been crucified with Christ. Then you don't have to respond with the anger. If you just give yourself a couple of minutes or 30 seconds to take a breath, then we don't respond that way. But man, I'm telling you, the old habits of I hit because you hit, you know, the eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that's in the old man. That's not in the new man. Romans 6, 6 through 7 reminds us in the New Living Translation, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that what? Sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. I don't have to go backwards. I simply choose to. I want my own way. They're not loving me enough. They're mad. They're angry at me. I'm angry at them. I'm carrying around this old self, and I want to have a pity party for myself instead of just saying, you know what? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. It's His will be done. I made some decisions. I didn't count the cost, but I'm in those decisions. I'm going to allow Jesus Christ to work with me through solutions to problems that we're up against. When marriages are hard, both people need to chase after Jesus as fast and as hard and as faithful as you can. That way, Christ gets the glory. The world says you deserve this, this, or that. Remember the old commercials for fast food? You deserve a break today, or you need to go to Wendy's, or whatever it is. I hope this visual helps you see the truth about holding on to old habits. Because I got a feeling we're all guilty of old habits coming in, and we're responding. Let me just take just a minute. I got a feeling it's all of us. Let's just pray for a second. Father, thank you. Thank you for this truth. This is unexpected, but I expected you to show up. So, Lord, there are people in here struggling. We hang on to our old selves way too tightly. Lord, help us to loosen our grip from our old self or from the enemy's lies, and help us, God, hang on to the truth of your word. And we do so by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Surrendering Christ means letting go of control, and for many, that's terrifying. Why? On the screen, fear of losing control? Because we value independence and fear the unknown. But family, true surrender isn't about losing. It's about gaining something far more significant. I get the cheeseburger because I deserve a break today, but then I put on 10 pounds or whatever it is, right? Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to not eat this week, or I'm going to find something a little bit more healthy, a different decision was made, and then all of a sudden the outcome seems to be different. I'm thinking, well, that was a God thing. No, that was just a common sense thing, right? But God will give you the power to say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. You remember the scenario of two dogs. You got a white dog and a black dog. They're tugging a war. Black dog represents evil. The white dog represents good. Which one are you going to feed? You feed that black dog, it's getting stronger and stronger. You feed that white dog, it's getting stronger. Feed the spirit. Reject the flesh. Feed your spirit. While surrender is challenging, the good news is that surrender leads to freedom. Freedom from the law. You're free from sin. You don't have to sin. You really don't have to sin. We simply choose to sin. Wouldn't you agree? You know when it's coming up on you, and all of a sudden you want to do something that's not right, and God's saying, don't do it, don't do it. And off you go, you did it. Doggone it. That's saying, I give this thing power to lie to me. We should know better. We are free from that. We're free from the law, from sin, and we're free to live fully in Jesus Christ. You might remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus is saying this. So you know it's true. Paul's reminding us, the other gospel writers are reminding us, pick up your cross and follow me. If you're trying to hang on to your old life, you will lose it. I'm trying to hang on with everything you got. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Jesus teaches that we will discover real life in Him only when we let go of the self-centered grip. We find true freedom, purpose, and security in Christ when we relinquish control. We're afraid we're going to lose control because we're not feeling like our security is being provided. Like, I'm going to leave myself vulnerable. I can't, because if I told somebody on the prayer sheet that I'm going through something real vulnerable, they're going to make fun of me. Now they know my past, and now all of a sudden I'm the laughing stock of the church. If your church responds to a prayer request like that, you're in the wrong spot. We love to walk through with people through struggles. We all struggle. Everyone in this room struggled at least once and shed tears over poor decisions. I'm here to bring hope. You don't have to hang on to the old ways of figuring things out. You have been fully set free to take up your cross. That's a decision you need to make, to follow Jesus. Jesus teaches that we will discover real life in him only when we let go of that self-centered grip of life. Self-centered. We find true freedom, purpose, and security in Christ when we relinquish control. That was worth saying twice. So I ask myself, what am I terrified of losing if I surrender fully to Christ? Is it my comfort, my plans, or my independence? Well, here's the paradox. When we surrender control, we discover that God's plans are far better than anything could imagine. When you just stepped out in faith and you got no hope of anything going on, you're only trusting by faith. I've surrendered my life. Christ is living in me. He said to do this, so I'm going to go do it. And you have no idea what happens. And then the joy that comes when all of a sudden you saw the Holy Spirit, we act surprised, don't we? Yeah, we just did a good deed, and yeah, we're all happy and whatever. And it's like, why is that surprising? He said he would do that for us. Yet we forget because we're believing in this guy. While surrender is challenging, the good news is that surrender leads to freedom. That's my next point. Freedom and victory are, the freedom and victory of surrender. What does that look like? The freedom and victory of surrender. Verse 21 of Galatians 2, I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law would make us right with God, here's the truth, this will preach, then there was no need for Christ to die. Ooh. How do we experience the freedom and victory of surrender? We must remember we are free from the law, from the old self. It's dead. Freedom from the law, one of the greatest victories of surrendering to Christ. Freedom from the law. One of the greatest victories of surrendering to Christ is freedom from the impossible demands of the law. You'll spend yourself running in circles like a dog chasing his tail, trying to see if you can measure up to the law. You can't. It's asking for perfection. Romans 8:3 says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. We are so weak. We're not strong when we say we're strong. So God did what the law could not do. What did he do? He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Romans 8:4, he did this so that the just requirements of the law could be fully satisfied for us because we can't do it. He did it for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead we now follow the Holy Spirit. We no longer follow the law, we follow the Holy Spirit. Imagine the relief of not carrying the weight anymore. Jesus bore it for us. Not only do we have freedom from the law, but we also have freedom from sin. Freedom from sin. When we live by faith, sin no longer has dominion over us. Romans 6:14 tells us, sin is no longer your master. Do you believe that? For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace, and that should bring you a smile to your face. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your grace that Randy wasn't stuck to this, that he's been crucified with Christ. He no longer lives, and I throw him at the cross. He's dead. There's no life. There's no head. There's no heartbeat. There's no nothing in that. Excuse me, that's a double negative. Can't do that. There's not anything in there alive. This old man stays here because Jesus already dealt with him. I'm believing that with my whole heart, soul, and strength. That's the old Randy. See you later. Sayonara. This old man stays here because Jesus already dealt with him. Let this be a powerful visual reminder of our victory in Christ. We have freedom from the law and sin. We also have freedom to live for Jesus. Now I'm free to live for Christ. That thing's not on my back any longer. I'm not even allowing it to speak into my life. I found some tools that I practice on a daily. I pray, I fast, I make sure I'm confessed, and I repent. I do the tools that I know to do to make sure that my focus is on Christ and not on myself. I keep looking back at that guy. Look at that nice shirt over there, you know, and I'm getting drawn into it. There's a nice pair of jeans on there. Stop. In the name of Jesus, I've been crucified with Christ. I mean, it's that simple of a tool. You just got to retrain your brain. If I got to do that in order to survive, I'm going to challenge you guys. You have to do that too, because this is who you are in Christ. You're new creations in Christ Jesus, made for a purpose, with purpose. We have freedom to live for Christ, and surrender is not about losing. It's about gaining. I gained eternal life through Jesus. He saves us from something. He saves us for something, not from something, for something. That makes sense? He saves us not just from something. He saves us for something. And then when we surrender, we step in the fullness of his promises. I choose to step in the fullness of Christ's promises. John 10:10 on the screen says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." That's not a rich and satisfying life here in America or wherever you're from. It's a rich and satisfying life in Christ. He will meet every need and every desire, won't he? This is the freedom to live fully for him. Not in fear of bondage, but in abundant life that he offers. It's in Christ. There's abundant life. But I think we're so attracted to the old self that we keep going back there because it's so easy. It's what we know how to do. I'm going to use whatever it is, excuse, to blame for why I'm making poor decisions. I don't think that's for anybody, but for us and the Holy Spirit to work those things out. No one's to blame. We live in a culture where we blame something. Oh, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Well, that's the consequences of you not doing this or doing that. That's why you probably had the outcome. You reap what you sow, correct? If you sow evil, you're going to probably receive evil. But if you sow goodness, it comes back at you. And that's what the Holy Spirit's teaching us here. So what does this mean for us today? The tools I can give you is death to self. Write these verses down. Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Luke 9:23. In a men's group that's been meeting for well over 15 years, that was one of our verses. Die to self. Die to self. Start each day with a prayer of surrender. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Because of the free will that he's given us, he will not overstep his authority to rule and reign over you. You need to say, I give you authority to rule and reign. Not my will, but your will. Will that work through me? Now you've given him authority to do what he needs to do because you've asked him. That's the power of prayer. Recognize the lies of the old nature. We know those by heart, don't we? When old habits or thoughts resurface, remind yourself, that's not who I am anymore. That's not who I am anymore. That's not who I am anymore. I have been crucified with Christ. It's him living in me and through me. And then live by faith, not by feelings. Feelings will lead us astray. They're like a fire alarm. These lights go off in here when we pull a fixture. You'll see the lights going on. It's telling you there's danger, danger, danger. But what happens is no one goes to find out, well, what the danger is. Let's go find out what it is. Why are the alarms going off? Why are our feelings not right? Let's go inward in prayer and upward to our Savior and on our knees to accept what it is that he has for us, because a lot of times it's us doing it to ourselves. That old man has such power if I give it to him. The enemy, most of the times, isn't even involved in a lot of the evil that we run up against. It's our own selves. Don't allow feelings to rule and reign. They're just simply an alarm system to say, hey, something's not correct. Wouldn't you agree with that? I think that's a fair statement. Feelings are on purpose. They're made by God. We can feel extreme joy. We can feel extreme sadness. Those who love much, usually they can really love well. Those who don't love much can learn a lesson to love more. Hebrews 11:1, write this down. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We live this life of faith. A closing statement. At the end of this message, I want to remind you of the incredible truth in Galatians 2:20. Freedom comes when we are crucified with Christ and live by faith in him. If you feel weighed down by your old nature, if you feel weighed down by sin, fear, or anything that keeps you from fully experiencing the life that Jesus offers, today's the day to leave it at the cross. Today's the day to kick that dummy out. I can't kick that hard anymore. You know what I mean? It's that simple of a picture of a truth that's going on the inside. And that's my desire today, is the Holy Spirit would bring to your attention that you're probably carrying around a rando or something, according to your name, of the old self. Imagine how much lighter your life would be without dragging the weight of your old self around. Freedom is waiting for you. Stop dragging that old self, surrender it to Christ, and let him live through you. Right now, I invite you to picture, with your eyes closed, just picture in your mind, what's weighing you down? Is it fear? It's probably flashing right now in you. It's fear, maybe sin of some sort, or a self-reliance. It's flashing in your brain right now. May you have the courage to lay that down right now. Surrender it to Jesus. Leave it at the cross. Because Jesus offers freedom when you surrender it to him. As you leave here today, I challenge you to actively surrender each burden, each fear, or habit that weighs you down. Band, you guys can come on up if you'd like. Let today mark the start of your journey into true freedom in Christ. Am I living surrendered to Christ, or am I still dragging that old man around? True freedom, purpose, and security are found when we release control and allow Christ to reign in every area of our lives. Men, we like to store things in closets, don't we? Well, guess what? That poison gets in there and it leaks under the floors and it starts now. Why am I so angry? Oh, you forgot to deal with what's in that closet. I know that about men because I'm one of them. We are dangerous when we do that. We need every door open. Allow Christ to come in and heal us right now, today. If there's some closet door, men, that are in there, open that door. Let's surrender it to Christ. Women, same thing. If there's something that you're hiding in, whatever it is, and it needs to be revealed to Christ, I want you to be set free today. Freedom to live in Christ. The truth of surrender isn't just something we talk about. It's something that we live. And let me show you how God transformed my life briefly through surrender, showing me the freedom found in him. On the screen, you'll see a near-death experience for me. I had some pictures. That was my reality on May 28th, 11 o'clock, in Manchester, Indiana. I had, ironically, people chasing after me, saying, "You need Jesus." My brother was one of them, and I didn't know what he was talking about. I really wasn't interested. But when you land on the ground, flip that, there it is right there, and then you got guys looking at you, and you're on your back. I was a tower climber for a lot of years, so my legs were the strongest things that I had, and I relied on them, and they made me money. It provided for our family. But Jesus was calling me to something greater, and I'm telling you, that day he got my attention because I'm on my back. And for a year and a half, roughly, it took a while to get on the right track, but he made it so I could walk again. Now, I have a heck of a limp, and that's why I got to sit down every now and then. But what a reminder of God's grace that day. And you might not look at it as God's grace, but that's God's grace. I didn't go to hell when I could have died that day, and I know I wasn't trusting Jesus for anything, and off I would have went. Eternal separation from God. May these pictures in my story remind you of the freedom that Christ is real and life-changing. We're going to sing a song and then I'm going to close this in prayer after that. Stay standing just for a minute. Let's just put our hands out like this. You online, do the same thing. We're going to give it over to the Lord right now. Father, it's in Jesus' name that we cast our burdens onto you because A, you care for us. And B, we just learned that it's the word of God that says that we should be doing these things. So empower each of us in our minds to believe what was taught today and the courage to live this out as we pray together in faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. There are prayer people down here to pray a deeper prayer. If there's struggles going on online, www.westgate.org is a place that you can go through. So, Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Go be the church.